Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for all who are hurting, with family members that are facing difficulties, with all that is happening financially in families, with the difficulties we see in our country and around the world. And Father, just for the stuff that we face every day, we pray for your strength. We pray, Lord, that you would help us through the difficult times and the most difficult times. Help us, Father, when we're knocked off our feet to get back up again. Help us, Lord, to be strong. And I pray in a very difficult world, we would learn to be strong. And I pray, Father, that we would find that strength in you. So as we look at your word this morning, Lord, we pray, I pray, that every life that is here, every soul, every heart, might hear your word, that we might be receptive to your word. And I pray, Lord, the things that we will learn will change the way that we live the rest of our life, so that in everything we do, you may gain the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't think I have to say it. I think if we took a survey, if we took a poll, I think the results would be very obvious. Life is tough. It's difficult, isn't it? We look around at this world and we look at the things we face, whether they're physically, emotionally, or spiritually, financially. We look at life and life is tough. And I think at one time or another, every single one of us have prayed, Lord, make my life a little bit easier. And sometimes when we pray that, it seems like life just gets tougher. You know, we ask questions like, why do good people have tough times? Why do good people suffer and hurt? Why is it that life is so difficult? We say things like that because life is difficult. Life is hard. And you know what? It's not getting any easier. There may be times in our life where we go through times of ease and times where, you know, you're hanging on the mountaintop and you're looking over the valley and you say, life looks great. Until something happens in your life and you get knocked off the mountain and you're hanging down the bottom of the valley and you say, life stinks. Depending on what you have faced in your life, you may have even been like Job. You may have even been like others. And you have prayed and asked God that you have never been born. And you wish the day that saw the light of your birth was in darkness, as Job had prayed. Life is tough. And it is so tough, many people give up and they quit. They run away from life. They take their life and they kind of go into their own little world and you can talk to them and you can see them, but they're in their own little world. You know, there's something inside the head, but as you look, you can't find anything because they're lost in their own little world because they've given up on life. Some people lock themselves in their homes because life is so tough, and they say to themselves, I can stay here and be happy, and it'll be easy, and I'll stay inside my home, and I won't be bothered by anybody. And we think by doing that, we can escape from life's difficulties. But life is tough. Some people go through the motions. Some people get out there, and they go every day, and they do the things they need to do, but inside, they've already quit. And I would like this morning to share with you the two main verses in my life, along with verses that go with them, that I always run to when I feel like quitting, when I feel like giving up, when I feel that life is too tough and too difficult and things out there are just horrible. I say to myself, that's it, I've had enough, I'm done. And I go to these two verses, and these are the two verses that always grab me by the feet and they pick me back up. And as difficult as it sometimes is, they keep me going. And I hope as I share these verses with you this morning that they will do the same for you. You know, someone once said, oh, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. Pastors quit. Do you know there are 1,500 pastors every month that are quitting the ministry? Not changing churches, but they are totally getting out of ministry. 1 in 10 pastors who start in ministry, 1 in 10 make it to retirement. There are people who are quitting on church. They have a problem in church, or they have, you know, misstep or something happened at church, so they say to themselves, I'm not going to church anymore, and they quit. There are people who give up on their marriages and quit because of the difficulties of trying to have a good marriage. There are people who quit witnessing because it seems like every person you try to tell about Christ, they just reject you. There are people who quit praying. They pray and pray and pray about issues in their lives and nothing seems to change. And as I've already mentioned, there are people who simply quit at life. My hope and prayer this morning is if that is where you're at, you'll get back up. My hope and prayer is that if you are on the mountaintop this morning, that I can give you some ammunition so that when you get knocked off that mountain, and let me say you will, that you will have the ammunition you need to deal with life. Let's begin in Proverbs chapter 24 in verse 10. Let me say, number one, be strong. If you want to be able to deal with life, you have to be strong. It says in verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The word faint means to become weak. It means to be in a state of lacking power or force, with a focus that the muscles have lost their muscle tone to flex and to respond to a situation. It is often coupled with fear or dread or a lack of courage. When the day of adversity comes, you give up and you quit. And if you do that, your strength is small. The word adversity means distress. It talks about trouble. It talks about times of calamity and anguish, unfavorable circumstances. It focuses on emotional pain and distress. The word small means the inability to act and endure. The inability to stand your ground in the midst of difficult times. He says we need to be strong. He says that we need to have strength because when we get in days of adversity and we fall apart and we give up, then the reality is our strength is small. Now, you might say to yourself, yeah, that's true. My strength is small. But remember, you name the name of Christ. And when you name the name of Jesus and you claim to be his follower and you quit and you give up, then when people of the world look at you, they don't look at your strength being small. They look at God and they say, that is what God can do for you? And if that is what God can do for you, why should I bother with your God? You know, it is interesting, but when you look around at the Bible and you see people getting knocked off their feet and you find people getting ready to quit, God doesn't necessarily go over and give them a big hug and say, lay on the couch for the rest of the night and take life easy. God goes over and he rebukes them and he says, get up off your feet and be strong. Let me give you a few examples. In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah was having a fight, a battle. And Elijah was battling the prophets of Baal, and there were a bunch of them against him by himself. And he fought the prophets of Baal, and he fought the people of Israel. And he said, look, you got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. Either serve God or serve the Baals. Make your choice. And he called on the prophets of Baal to light fires, to call on their God and have their God come down and burn up the statue they had made, the mound of wood they had made. And they start doing that, and Elijah laughs at them, and he makes fun of them, and their gods do nothing. And God, Elijah says, well, maybe your God is going in the bathroom and relieving himself. And he makes fun of them. And he wins a great battle. And in that one day, he almost destroys all of idolatry in the nation of Israel. And he comes down off the mountain, and while he's down off the mountain and he's kind of hanging out, he finds that the king's wife, Jezebel, sends him a message and says, I am going to kill you just like you killed them. And Elijah falls apart. And he goes out to what's called a broom tree in great depression, and he prays that he might die. Think about it. He's afraid that he's going to be killed, so he prays that he might die. He's not the only one in the Bible who has done that. Men and women who have served God, and because of fear, because of lack of strength, because of depression, they go and they get alone with God. Instead of praying to God for help and strength to win the battle, they pray that they would die. And God rebukes him. And then there's one of my favorite prophets in the Bible. We're studying him in my junior and senior high class. In our adult small groups, we're studying about him. His name is Jeremiah. And God called Jeremiah before the day he was born to serve him to become a prophet. And God said to Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the people of Israel, the people who have turned away from me and literally had changed their gods. And I want you to go to those people and I want you to rebuke them and I want you to tell them that if they don't turn back to me, then I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and destroy them. Jeremiah said, well, you know what, God, I'm a little too young for this. Maybe you ought to get somebody else. God said, no, I called you. And you're the one that's going to go. And God said, I want you to know something that will happen once you go. God said to Jeremiah, you got to go wherever I tell you to go, and you got to say whatever I tell you to say, and you got to talk to the people I tell you to talk to. But I want you to know this ministry I've given you that will last many, many years, not one single person is going to listen to you. How would you like that job? Your job is to call all the nation back to God, but no one's going to listen to you. And God says, I want you to do it anyway. Jeremiah had many struggles as he tried to finish, complete, fulfill that ministry. And there's one passage that I always love going to look at. Turn there with me to Jeremiah chapter 12. In the middle of Jeremiah's ministry, he comes to a point where he is ready to give up and quit. You see it in verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Jeremiah 12:1. Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their heart. Jeremiah is praying and talking to God, probably the very same prayer that you and I have said. God, why does it seem the wicked do so well and the righteous don't? What's going on here? You've called me to a ministry to change hearts and to turn lives back to you, and no one will listen. You would think with a ministry like that, you'd say, why bother? In fact, in our day and age, if a pastor was in the same ministry, most people would call him a failure. Look what happens in verse 5. God replies to Jeremiah and he says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treachery with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. God says to Jeremiah, look, if you're ready to quit where you are, if you're ready to quit in the ease you've already had, wait until things get really bad. Then what are you going to do, Jeremiah? What we have here is a rebuke of Jeremiah for wanting to quit, for wanting to give up. Let me show you an even clearer one. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We looked at two Old Testament guys. Let's look at a New Testament example. Matthew chapter 8. Beginning in verse 18. And now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong spot. Verse 23 is where I want to be. And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. Now, when it says the boat's being swamped by the waves, that word swamp means the boat is full of water. The waves are crashing over the boat. The storm's so bad that literally the boat is full of water. But he was asleep. Jesus is in the front of the boat, and he's still sleeping. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Think about it. You're out in the boat with Jesus. The boat is full of water. It's going to sink. And you look around, you wonder what's going to happen. You think you're going to die. Jesus is sleeping in the front of the boat, so you're scared. You go and shake him and you wake him up. And you think Jesus is going to stand up and say, all right, be calm. Everything's going to be good. And what does he do? Why are you guys so afraid? Why do you guys have so little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? Three examples how these different groups of people got in difficult situations, and in them, instead of being strong in the day of adversity, their strength was small. Each and every one of them were ready to give up. The question then becomes, how do I find strength in the day of adversity? How do I find the strength that I need so that when adversity, trouble, difficulty comes my way, I will be strong enough for whatever happens in my life? Have you ever found yourself in a situation and it was really, really bad and your friends came to you and they wanted to console you, they wanted to make you feel better, so they put their arm around you and they said something like, well, you know, there's at least something good you can find in this. And you're there saying, well, what good could I ever find? And the person says to you, well, you know what? It can't get any worse. And then it gets worse. How do you find strength for those times when, you know, in your own strength, you might give up? In your own strength, you might say, I've had enough. I'm out of here. How do you find that kind of strength? Let me say a couple of quick things. Number one, rely on God. Rely on God. The strength that you need really, truly is a prayer away. We need to learn to take our difficulties, our troubles, our problems. We need to learn to take life and give it to God. Listen to these words. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out the host by number, calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 27 through 31. When you find yourself tired and worn out, remember that even young people, teenagers, children, even 2- and 3-year-olds find a spot where they finally wear out. And I didn't used to think that. First time I was around a 2- and 3-year-old and they started off running around the house, and I had to kind of play catch and play with them, I kept thinking to myself, is there a battery in them? How can they keep going like that? I am wiped out. But then I saw that there does come a time where they do get tired. But when we get tired and weary, we need to remember that God is there for us. And God has a strength that is so strong that he created this whole entire universe, a strength that keeps the universe exactly where it needs to be. And that God is there for us. And that God will give us the strength and the power and the ability to keep going on even when we're ready to quit. And you will find yourself being able to go far beyond anything you ever thought you could deal with if you rely on God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God has strength for us in troubled days. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, that God has strength for us when we minister, when we serve, and we try to reach out to other lives. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says that God gives us strength for life, and that we can do all things through him who gives us the strength, whether well-fed or whether hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. Learn to rely on God. You'll be amazed at the strength that is available to you. And I'd say a second thing is that we need to keep an eternal focus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you think your life is bad, listen to these words and think about the lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. It's the Apostle Paul talking about the apostles, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You think about it. Could you say of your life that you are afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down? Paul said that about his life, but he said, look, we're not crushed, we're not driven to despair, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed. Why is that? Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen or that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul says that when he was perplexed and afflicted and struck down and persecuted, that he was not destroyed. Why? Because he didn't look at the immediate, but he looked at the eternal. He had an eternal focus. Have you ever been in the midst of some very difficult times, and as you were there at the point of those times, you may have said to yourself, I'm never, ever going to get through this. And then you get on the other side of it. See, in our lives, there's going to be many tunnels. We're going to find many tunnels in our life that we go in the one side and it is full of darkness and difficulty and despair. And you know how people always say that there's light at the end of the tunnel? Where you're in the tunnel of all kinds of trouble and you look for the light at the end of the tunnel and you say to yourself, I don't see any light. And you begin to wonder how long the tunnel is going to be of trouble and difficulty and despair. Sooner or later, you find yourself coming out the other end. And you find yourself walking in the light for periods and times and days and months and weeks. And then you find yourself in another tunnel. What we need to realize is as we go through these difficulties in life and this darkness in life, that there is a glory that is still there for us, a glory in heaven, a time where we will stand in the presence of God and praise Him for all eternity. And we will look at all the troubles we face in this world and they will look so small when we stand up in glory. That's what Paul is saying. That as he looked through life, he didn't get stuck in the immediate. He kept his eyes focused on the eternal. And it helped him through his difficulties. Keep an eternal focus. Says in the book of Romans these words, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Glory that God will give us. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 24. I said there were two verses. The first is verse 10. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And down in verse 15 and 16, says, lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do no violence to his home. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity. You know, if I were you, I would not only underline this verse, I would highlight this verse, especially the main phrase there, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again. I would mark that so much that it almost comes right off the page. Let me say this number two. Keep getting up. Not only do we need to be strong in the strength of Christ, but we need to keep getting up. You know, the reality is in life, we're going to get knocked down. There are times in life where we're going to be hurt and we're going to feel like giving up and life's just caving in around us. Maybe, you know, it's a family member that has a disease or is hurting or maybe there's been an accident or a financial crisis or maybe something in your own life and you're just hurting like crazy. And you give up. And you get knocked down and you kind of stay down for a little while. You got to turn to yourself and say, I'm not going to stay down. You got to turn to yourself and say, I'm not going to quit. You got to turn to yourself and say, I'm getting back up. You got to say to yourself, the Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. The idea is he gets knocked down, but he keeps getting back up. And you got to say to yourself, I want to be like that righteous man, so I'm going to get back up. It says in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. There's a story told about Andrew Jackson's boyhood friends. They just couldn't understand how Andrew Jackson became a famous general and then ultimately the president of this country. He knew of other men who had greater talent, but who never succeeded. One of Jackson's friends said, why, Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw Andy three times out of four. But look where Andy is now. Another friend responded, how did there happen to be a fourth time? Didn't they usually say three times and you're out, so the wrestling match is over? Sure. They were supposed to, but not Andy. He would never admit that he was beat. He would never stay throwed. Jim Brown would get tired, and on the fourth try, Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. Picking up on that idea, someone has said the thing that counts is not how many times you've been throwed, but whether you are willing to stay throwed. We face setbacks, but we must take courage, and we must go on in faith. The battle is the Lord's, and there is no excuse to stay throwed. Righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. The thing that is true of a righteous man is he never stays down. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, when it talks about the book of James, when it talks about Christians going through trials, it says that as we go through those trials, the thing that God is working in our life is perseverance. The ability to stand our ground no matter what comes our way. The ability to abide under great trouble and turmoil. The ability to not quit. We often ask, what is the characteristics of someone who's a mature Christian? I believe from the Word of God that one of the characteristics of a mature Christian that ought to be true of us as we grow up is perseverance. Is the willingness to keep going on no matter what. In fact, listen to this. In Galatians chapter 6, it says that we will receive if we do not give up. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said that there's a crown waiting for him. Why? Because he didn't give up. We have the example of Jesus where the Bible says that he endured the cross for what would come after it. And in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, it talks about the one who overcomes will receive the prize. Each event in life tests our faith. The question is not what we have faced. The question is whether we stay down. One coach was telling the other, the head coach, look at that back. That back is doing great. He has all kinds of moves. Guys are barely touching him. And the head coach said, well, let's see what happens the first time he gets knocked down. Let's see if he gets back up. The value of courage and persistence and perseverance has rarely been illustrated more than in this life. At age 22, he failed in business. At age 23, he ran for the legislature, but he lost. At age 24, he failed in business again. At age 25, he was elected to the legislature. At age 26, his sweetheart died. At age 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At age 29, he ran to be speaker, but he lost. At age 31, he lost for the electorate. At age 34, he ran for Congress and lost. At age 37, he ran for Congress and finally won. At age 39, he was defeated for Congress. At age 46, he ran for president and lost. At age 47, he ran for vice president and lost. At age 49, he ran for the Senate again and he lost. At age 51, he became the president of the United States. And they made a monument to him. One of the greatest presidents we ever had. His name is Abraham Lincoln. I'm sure glad he didn't quit. In fact, we may not be a country today if he had quit. Let's pray. Father God, help us to find the strength that comes from you. And I pray, Lord, when things get tough, help us to be strong through Christ. And I pray, Lord, that in those times when we do give in and we do quit, and we do give in to the troubles of this life. Help us, Lord, not to stay down. Help us to get back up. Help us, Lord, to persevere. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come.